I think I'm going to talk to you about power, if the Lord will enable me. I didn't think I was, but I am now. Some of you will have heard something of this before, I'm sure. But anyway, I think also you must have heard the kinds of things I've been saying before, too. So I'm not worried about that. Because, beloved, either this thing that we're in is in power, or else it's not. I mean, I've met some people up north, where I've been in Scotland, and they were dear people, they weren't English, they had all kinds of people up there, and during the course of my remarks, I said, God save us from the charismatic movement. Now, I had no sort of particular people or group in mind. I'm meaning an obsession with the charismata. That's what I mean, with all my heart. I'm as certain that it's a cul-de-sac as any other thing that's being pushed on the churches by new discoveries and new experiences. I mean it with all my heart. Not that I don't believe that it's a good thing to be in the charismata and have the charismata in me. I think it's wonderful that God saves us from that which is only emphasizing gifts. The charismatic movement means nothing to me that people can get together. It doesn't impress me unduly anyway. The crowd could get together from all kinds of denominational backgrounds and sing and put their hands up and or sing in tongues or speak in tongues. That doesn't mean a lot to me. Not really. It's significant, but what of? And I'm not trying to be cynical. I believe, beloved, God wants to bring us into the power realm, the real power realm. That's what I believe. And I believe that this is power of such magnitude that just to be caught up with like a charismatic movement is a sideline. Only. Nevertheless, God pour upon us more and more of his wonderful gifts. For the power must find expression through what are known as the gifts of the Spirit. This is God's ordered way. I believe, let's sort of make a start on familiar ground, shall we? And let's move on together on this great word, power. I want to come into Romans 1:16, most of you won't need to turn it up, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. I want you to see that the gift is the power of God, but the gospel is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, says Paul, for it's the power. It's a precious thing, beloved, that God could make a man stand or rough sit and ride, whatever it is, and he could have such glorious evidence, such proof of his preaching and of his wonderful ministry, that he can say, well, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. You know, it's rather like the Lord of old, when he was talking to ancient Israel about idolatry in Isaiah. He said that, let all these people that talk about other gods, let them produce their evidence, their witnesses. He says, you're my witnesses. I produced you. They were. You're my proof. Can they prove anything like this? Can they demonstrate it? That's the way with God. He doesn't ask you to believe anything, unless it is demonstrable. Whether you will accept the evidence is another point. But he's quite prepared to produce the evidence. Not that by the evidences you should believe, because you remember that when he was on the earth, when in the end of John 2, the people believed on his name when they saw the miracles that he wrought. He said he didn't commit himself to them. They were believing for the wrong reasons. He didn't commit himself to them. But nevertheless, the evidence is there. And the Lord wants this. Praise God for a man who could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, beloved, it's this that's going to take this out of the realm of mere talk and words. Unless there is a transmission of power. Unless you visualize this gospel in terms of power and not correct language, even good biblical language, you'll never get anywhere. It's a transmission of power. It requires words, and words about the correct things too, such as the blood and the sacrifice and the offering and Calvary and all that. Hallelujah. But unless together with that there is a communicating of power, beloved, we are sunk. We've got to get out of it. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I heard it said recently, when there was some sort of contest going on, or some sort of cross talk going on between us and them type of thing, you know, and us were saying so and so, and somebody said about them, well, they've produced more evidence of the working of God than you have, sort of thing. And this was the ground they were on, the proof, the evidence. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And that's what God wants. For let's go into the Corinthian letter, shall we? I'm taking, by the way, this Greek word dunamis, that's translated in Acts 1:8, power. You shall receive power. And into the Galatian letter, the Corinthian letter, I beg your pardon. And the fourth chapter, familiar enough scripture again, but let's put some of these things together as they are in the Word of God. If we dream along in the ideas of men, we shall get precisely nowhere. Mm-hmm. But if we're on the Word of God, we'll see what God is saying. In verse 19 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not to speak to them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now then, I want to know the power of you. That's what Paul said. When I come, I shall examine them on whether their theology is right, or whether their doctrines are correct. You understand that? When I come, he said, I shall know their power. That's what I shall know. And without power, apparently to Paul, it was all useless. He was prepared to sum the whole thing up on the presence or absence of power. A solemn thing. What would he do if he walked into Belmont Road? Or any other fellowship from which you may come, or where you may be pleased to gather. That's what I should know, said the power. And he would know the power of what sort it is, too. You see, the kingdom of God is in power. It's outside of power. It's not in anything that isn't power. You understand that? It's only in power. That's not the only thing it's in, of course. It's in love, and you can gather that in your next verse. And it's in all the glorious things that are God. But, oh, beloved, primarily in the context in which we are speaking, it's in power. Amen. The kingdom of God, glory of God. You know, beloved, that this is true. When the Lord Jesus said he was going home, he said, I'm going home, I'm going to sit on the right hand of power. There you are. He's sitting on the right hand of power. Now, he said he was crucified in weakness. Through weakness he was crucified. So if what he did on the cross was weak, whatever is this power that he's talking about? Then? The kingdom of God's in power. He did all that he did on the cross, apparently, in weakness. That is human weakness. That is power now. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, it's in power. In fact, every real kingdom is in power. A kingdom can't stand unless it has power. It's got to have power. Bless the name of the Lord. You see, we're in a realm, beloved, of spirit. We're in a realm of human powers and devilish powers and divine powers. And the kingdom's in power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God rules there in power. Marvelously. Let's go one step further at this moment, shall we? And we go back to the first chapter. And in the 18th verse we read this: the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Glory. That's the dunamis of God. The logos of the cross is the dunamis of God. I don't know what you think it was. What happened to you when you said you were baptized in the Spirit? But this dunamis is the preaching of the cross. The power. Praise the name of the Lord. What a marvelous thing it is. I think this means that probably we've all got to get ourselves sorted out on what this power is. If I said to you, what is this power that you have, since you say this and that happened to you, what is this power? You might say, well, it's power from on high. That's right. But you've only told me where it comes from. What is it? And this will explain so much that is thought to be power and is only really weakness. For this power is the word of the cross. Glory be to God. It's somehow, it's a power like God's strength, which is made perfect and was made perfect through his weakness. It seems to be so opposite to everything that man knows. Because if he was crucified through weakness, which this book itself says, it's the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, you may read the verse for yourself, then, beloved, what a tremendous thing it is then, that it's the complete opposite to what men would think, that there the Lord Jesus, he showed complete, if you like, human weakness. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And this will explain so much. Sheer human weakness. At one period he was absolutely dumb. Couldn't speak. He could have had power to speak if he'd wanted, but he chose not to. He stood there dumb. Do everything, anything. It seems, beloved, that the source of this power, so far as we're concerned in this gospel age, is utter weakness. That's what it seems to me. And this is why I think many who have had some visitation of this power of God fail in anything, everything, because they get puffed up and they get up into speech and into words instead of down there into weakness, so that the glory of this can work. It seems that leaders and laity alike, we're all tarred with the same brush, it seems. It seems to me that one of the greatest men who ever wielded the power of God on this earth was the Apostle Paul. He went about saying he was less than the least of all the saints. He himself testified that Christ's power was made perfect through weakness. He himself said this. He said, well, death works in us. From what was the result then? Life in you, he said. 2 Corinthians 4, I'm quoting now. So then, he said, death works in us. Life in you. Less than nothing, us. You, everybody. We, weak. You, strong. No wonder he wrote, after breaking his heart about these Corinthians, no wonder he wrote, they've got it all wrong. Got it all wrong. He said, to them that are saved, now I'm going to ask myself a question. Am I saved, Lord? Yes. Well, to me, the logos of the cross is the power. May I learn it. Some people think it's the gifts. Some people think it's the anointing. The vast difference between the anointing and power, if I take the two Greek words, the Greek word for the anointing is a different one from the one givenness. And they think it's by the anointing. Now I want to tell you, beloved, that the anointing was always an outward thing. But the power is an inward thing. Keep that very clear. Though truth of anointing was poured on, the Holy Ghost came down onto Jesus, and he was announced as the Christ. It was the anointing. It came onto him, and if you like, became absorbed in on him. And out he went. He gave them authority, exousia. That kind of power. But that's always upon. Alright. But dunamis is something which works in. You say, really? He says, the scripture says you should be clothed with dunamis from on high. That's right. That's absolutely true. But it's a clothing of the inner man. It's a power clothing of the inner man. We'll take this a little more clearly in a moment or two. But let's go on into 2 Timothy. Now, in 2 Timothy, and the first chapter, we read this great truth. Verse 7. Of the first chapter. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Now he's not just given us the power of the spirit, but the spirit of power. Note that. In Luke 24 he says, you'll receive the power of the spirit coming on you. But before that, you've got to have the spirit of power. Do you see that? God has given us the spirit of power. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see. And because you have the spirit of power, he says in verse 6, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. When Paul put his hands on Timothy, he imparted the spirit of dunamis. Verse 5. That's what he did. Glory be to God. The spirit of power. Oh, praise God. Now that's a tremendous thing. Let's get this thing in perspective, shall we? So that we know which way we're going. When God is really moving us, I want to know what I'm doing. I want to know which way I'm moving in these great things of God. You know, one of the names for the popular paper punch is the London Charivari, which means all like titbits and odds and ends all thrown together. But you know, that's not what the gospel is. It's not a Charivari. It's a great, wonderful whole. It's not a lot of titbits, but this is it. We keep getting titbits thrown to us. A little bit to be added here, or a little bit of another story there, and something else from somewhere else, instead of knowing the fullness of this thing into which God has called us, beloved. The gospel isn't punch. It's moving us in to the greatness of God. Hallelujah. We've got to have this. And when Paul went round and prayed with people, he wasn't just trying to move them into a few gifts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He imparted the spirit of power because he was in the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit was in power in him. Praise God. He says this kingdom, we know it's in the spirit, but it's in power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If it's in power, it meets the situations, doesn't it? It must do. It's a greater power than the power of the enemy. It is. I'm not afraid up into that. It is before it's given. We don't have to work to try and make ourselves more powerful in this thing sort of coming against the enemy or something like that. Hallelujah. Isn't it a power that takes us over? We don't take it over. Isn't it a power that's from on high? Isn't it something that's greater than anything? Is it or isn't it? Well, what's gone wrong then? They didn't seem to have this trouble in the early church that we have today. Now, did they? I would have liked to have lived then. I don't want to, you know, boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know what I mean? I don't want to go back and wish time away, but just to have had a real taste of it, to see what it was like. The churches have failed, beloved. Utterly failed. Oh, God. We do need to move on. Let's go back from here into the Ephesian letter. There's a connection between Timothy and the Ephesians, you know. He was supposed to be the first bishop of the Church of Ephesus. And in Ephesians, we're back where we were this afternoon, this well-known verse. We are to know, in the first chapter, in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Exceeding greatness of his power to us. That's what we're to know. Oh. Well, do you know the greatness of his power? Leave alone the exceeding greatness of his power. Do we know it? Is this a dream? Is it all nice words? Is it reality? I can see this man, Paul. I reckon he was praying for me and praying for you as well. Oh, that God would do something for you. He needs one lot of healing. We're told to higher up in that same chapter. It says, if you look at the end of verse 12, where it says, Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. In other words, beloved, all the promises of God come when that great sealing of the Spirit happens to your life. And these promises are backed by exceeding great power. That's what he's telling us. What's the use of trying to claim promises without the power? What's the use of us decorating our walls with nice promises? Without the power. I mean, there's a lot of people, they come in and they're greatly blessed when they see a text on the wall. But they're mightily soothed, they've been in troubles. But I know, I mean, there have been times when I sat down and listened to Mozart and been greatly soothed. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. I'm not trying to promote Mozart over anybody else. It's true. It comes in the aesthetic realm, so much of what we think is spiritual. In the emotional realm, instead of being in the power. I can remember while Schubert written a wonderful tune. I believe it was Goethe wrote the words. Thou holy art, how oft in hours of sadness and life wild tumult surged around my way, thy gentle voice has soothed my heart. And away it goes, there you are, it's there. It's in your best evening, a gorgeous tune to it. To listen to it is wonderful. But that's not the power we're talking about. It's like plaster text on your wall. It's the word of God. It's not the word of God unless the power of God's in it. That's what he says. The gospel's the power, not the word. Even though they be the most blessed and treasured words you ever did hear or see. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, he said, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. It may be, beloved, that perhaps there's got to be a great forsaking of all else and a waiting and getting hold of God for this. It may be. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I wish dear old Horace Benner had been able to go in there and heal the sick. I wish he'd been able, blessing me, the dear brother of mine in the Lord. I wish he'd been able to go in there and minister in the power of God and got some soul saved and not been so keen about translating John's gospel to have it all drowned in you. Because you can't drown power. I'm all for getting the Bible translated, especially John's gospel. I never heard of Paul sitting down trying to translate the Hebrew into all the crackpot languages into which he went. Did you? I never did. I never heard of any of the early church doing it. They might have done it. But we're modernized today. We've idolized words instead of moved in power. That's what we've done. The book has become a substitute for the Holy Ghost. That's right. But let's have both together. I woke up one day to the fact when I realized realized that that was what was wrong with me. Not that I have all the power I should have, and I don't talk to you from any superior position. But we do need to get things right, beloved. Oh, this book is telling us it's the power we've got to have. That's what it's telling us. And we move on in this great realm. This thing that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, he took him right up through all the principalities and powers. Oh, if you and I knew the exceeding greatness of his power that just splurged wide open a great way up through all the powers that would resist, why then, you don't read of Christ battling to get up through there. You don't read of Christ being depressed or stopped in his progress, impeded by the prince of this place or the prince of that, going back to Daniel and bringing up all the wonderful sermons you can preach about it. He went right up through there, hallelujah. He went up through there, blessed be the name, his name's Jesus, not Daniel. The prince of Media and Persia, what have they got to do with it? Glory be to God, the Holy Ghost has come. Holy Ghost is here. Praise him. I'd like to start. Where would I start? Some of you feel I was on the spot and start saying, how much power have you got, brother? How much power have you got, brother? How much power have you got, sister? That's what I want to know. Power speaks in any language, like love. Light shines in any darkness, like glory. This is the great thing for us to see, beloved. And God is going to bring us to it. In fact, this is put in a very nice, neat little phrase for us, or in a proper setting in the end of the third chapter of the same epistle, where again in that prayer he says, now at the end of verse 19, that now should come. Let me read 19. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, now, full stop, capital U, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis that worketh in us. Oh, now we know then that our asking and thinking may be on the wrong basis, according to the dunamis that's in you and working in your life, brother and sister. That's right. Working. And not just one individual, but us, saints, comprehending with all saints, working in all the church. Oh, when the power works in this fellowship as it should, there'll be a transformation in this, including me. Not that I'm here very much. That's right. And then I can say this of any fellowship or church. Yeah, I'm not, but what's the use of me talking to them? I'm talking to us. I want to talk to myself. When the power's really working. And it's not just an idle word that we worship. Oh, power, power. When it's down here, it's a working, everyday, slave thing. It's the servant of God in us. It's the impartation of his own basic property to us. Power. It's the power of God that makes God God, unqualified and unequal and unexcelled and undying. This is it. This great power. Oh, hallelujah. Unto him, he's able to do it. But it's only according to the power that's working in us. That's the limitation. Unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. According to the power that works in you. And it's no good you asking or thinking anything that's not according to the power that works in you. Just to get a prayer list and say I'm going to pray through this, if it's not according to the power that works in you, what's the use? Or we're going to pray for the conversion of England. If you're not praying and asking according to the power that works in you, you're just in words. Like we say, the gospel isn't in words and prayer isn't in words. The gospel is in power and prayer is in power. Working power. Oh. This great word working in actually is a wonderful word. It's the Greek word from which we get energy. The dunamis that's energizing you. Now energy is something distinct from effort. You put that down, in case you get mistaken about it. Energy is something different from effort. Effort is me trying, making an effort. Energy is something which is in me. I don't know what it is. Enables me to run upstairs taking two at a time at my time of life. I suppose. I suppose it is. I don't know. I just do it. My wife tells me I ought not to. Especially if I'm carrying the milk. But this is the great thing, beloved. Don't you see? I hope you see. These things have lived with me these months. Lived with me. And our sister's brought it all out. What is it that's working in us? Is it less than what's working in those devil men? Is it? What is it? People come to me and ask me to explain all kinds of problems as though I haven't got enough of my own. There are times when I have to say, I can't understand why this doesn't happen. All right. But I sometimes think that my problems are absolutely minimal beside other people's. By the way, they're piled in. Oh, why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Why something else? Why? The great questions that pile in. They pile up. For one real clear breath of the Holy Ghost, they'll come out of terminology and catchphrases and slick answers and bring us into the place of real power where something done. Where we're not forever apologizing and explaining. You know as I know that after that mighty visitation on the day of Pentecost, they healed that man that was lame from his mother's womb, and they all went laughing and shouting and singing and clapping their hands and doing all that they shouldn't have done by certain standards into the temple, and that there was a row about it, and finally the apostles got themselves locked up. And they wanted to know, this was all they wanted to know. Tell us by what name or why what power this man was healed. Because they couldn't say anything against it. Here he was, there was the evidence, you see. They could see the power. They couldn't see it actually working, but they could see its results. That man was an evidence of power. They didn't need to speak. They didn't need to speak. All the time that man lived, all the authorities were upside down. They didn't know what to do. Same with Lazarus. They tried to kill Lazarus because there he was. They wanted to kill Lazarus as well. He was an awkward chap, Lazarus. Like they had to excommunicate the man that was born blind and healed by Jesus. They had to. Get rid of him. Something's got to be done. You can't wish him out of it. You can't hypnotize him out of it. You can't destroy him out of it. I don't believe this. I don't believe the devil has power to destroy someone who's been met by God in the exceeding greatness of power. I don't believe it. I won't believe it. The devil has no power to destroy God's evidence. None at all. Hallelujah. That's a marvelous thing. I love to think about dear old Debu Singh. Excuse me, but he's my sort of modern Stephen I want to talk about, you see. When they put him in prison, you see. And they haven't got a clue, poor things. They should never have done it. By the time he came out, there were 37 other people saved. Serves them right. They shouldn't tamper with God. That's right. Serves them right. 37 people saved. 12 months in prison. My glory, they haven't got a clue. Should never do that. That's it. Hallelujah. But you should be like that, brother, sister. Where you are. Shouldn't you or should you? Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. I'm blowing the wrong trumpet. And it mustn't give an uncertain sound. I'm giving a certain sound. The power as I know. The power that works in your man, the power that works in your woman. Don't say this Jesus is less than everybody and everything else. Don't say this thing is so weak and supine that the devil can destroy it in you and have you upside down because some fanciful rumor or statement is going out about it. About these things in these days. That glorious work of Christ on the cross is more than sufficient to turn every kingdom upside down and inside out, and every principality to put it down and destroy it. Yes. It's able to do everything, beloved brothers and sisters, or else we've got to quit. Yes. Amen. One of the two. Praise God. Hallelujah. I need his power. I need it. Do you? Do you? Face it. Do you? The real power. Not the 1972 trimmed down version. Glory be to God. It's the power. It's the power that energizes. Oh, hallelujah. This boundless, inexhaustible energy that enables God to keep going, live forever, rise above every difficulty, smash every power. Hallelujah. It's innate in him. It's innate. It's his nature. Now, this is that which this power comes to be. It comes to be your new energy. The power that energizes you. Didn't something just to perform a miracle or speak in tongues? This is where it's all gone wrong. God save us. Let's move on. 1 Peter, I'd like to go into this great, bless this lovely epistle of Peter, very dear to me, since I spent some weeks in Maidstone jail. This is where God blessed this epistle to me. In 1 Peter 1, and verse 5, or the end of verse 4, you who are kept in the power of God. That's right. Kept in the power. You got by it. This is the Greek preposition in. Not by. Kept in the power. You kept in the power. You kept in it.
guarded in the power. Oh, hallelujah.
I'm getting hot like everybody else is. What have I done here?
Kept in the power. Oh, God, keep me there. I can remember this precious word in Luke's Gospel where we're told that Jesus went into that wilderness and there he was tempted of the devil and brushed him off. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He came back, we're told, in the power of God. Came back in the power of the Spirit. Came back in the power. Glory. Because the power was energizing him. But he swept it all off. That's right. That was his energy. Get behind me. Hallelujah. He demonstrated in perfect manhood before he tried to do any perfect works. Isn't that right? That's the truth. May we never move off it. Oh, beloved, to be a man of God, you've got to be a man of power. Amen. Kept in the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, glory. God's going to make a revelation of his power, of his grace, and of his love. In you and me. Well, what if you could imagine this? One of Satan's devils came up and said, well, him, he's never had any power on the earth. She's never had any power on the earth. What, you can't exhibit them as a revelation of your power? What? Ah, you can say, that's a sort of a queer idea to put forward, but I've only asked you to imagine it. Gotta be in power, brother. I can admire your nice life. I can admire your charitable attitude. I can admire your gentility. I can admire it all. But if I'm needing power, what's the use of it? An ounce of help is worth a ton of pity. One hand of power on my broken down car is worth all the polite good morning. And a nice walk past. That's the thing. The Lord is wanting to work in us, beloved. He's wanting to work. I believe he's wanting to work, beloved. I believe he is. I'm really convinced. I don't think it's going to come through any other way than a return of the church to power. I don't think it'll come in public protests. I don't think it'll come in all kinds of ways. They may have their place. Not that I wouldn't deny, but God helped save me from getting on the bandwagon. I want to be down there in a place of power. I must guide all the men. Why should we? Can God live without power? Then nor can I. If I share his life, this is the affinity, this is the reality, this is the union we've got to know. The Lord knows what he's moving to. Oh, I suppose really I'm talking in my own heart more than any of you. Allow me to do it. In Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 6. The Gentiles
should be fellow heirs. I'm putting in the Greek here. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs, fellow members of the same body, and fellow partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof, 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of Christ given unto me by the effectual working of his power. There it is, that same word energy, that effectual working. Same word. This great thing was given unto me by the energy, the inworking of his dunamis, his power, in me. Not the outward manifestation now. He's not talking about outward manifestation, gifts and healings and miracles. God be thanked for every one he did. But now he's talking about the real ministry, the real thing, the thing that made him this mighty man that he was. He said, all that I have of ministry, moving by revelation, it's because this dunamis has worked in me. It's my energy. The energizing of the whole of my spiritual inward manhood. That's what he's saying. This great inward working. Inward working. There are some people who always wanted to have us up building or listening to the upward calling. Let's have some in working. Let's have some in working and then we'll get some proper outflowing. An up building. An on high calling. We'll get all that. Let's have this great power working in us. Hey, Ben, do you get your energy from food and sleep and sugar? What do you get your energy from? May the Lord move us right in here. This man testified, he said, this great gift that was given me. See, in verse step 8, he said, unto me, less than the least of all the saints, was this grace given. See? Less than the least. Good. If you and I can get down there, beloved, I don't think we'll have a lot more trouble. I don't think we will. People are being encouraged today to reach out for ministries and receive gifts and know this, that and the other, and God knows, I think probably the time has come in the history of the church when these things should have their emphasis, but not an over-emphasis, only their proper emphasis, that we might see, beloved, that there's got to be this inward working of God by this power, and it's got to be preached properly. About the only thing that the church is now about power is what it says in Acts 1:8. Taken completely out of the context of the whole of Scripture. So that nobody knows really what it's all about. But this man said that this grace was given to him. The whole of his ministry rose from the dunamis. This is what he says. Flowed everything with power. Marvellous. Marvellous. I want this to keep on. I want it to flow through me. I want to have one more look into the Corinthian letter. And this time, beloved, it's in the second chapter. Oh, I know this. We all know this one. I was with you in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. I was with you in weakness. Here he is. And in fear. And in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the dunamis, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the dunamis of God. Seems to me that the only thing that faith can stand in is power. The only thing that is able to make faith stand is power. it seems to me, kept in that power with old Croupe. Amen. Oh. You see where it all lies there, brother, don't you? There, I determined to know nothing among any of you. Not to know anything, verse 2. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified, because the preaching of the cross is the power. People think that preaching the anointing brings the power. References to everything that's spiritual in their proper context and with their proper emphasis can be right. But oh, are we all missing the real source of it, the cross? Are we missing the very foundation of it, beloved? It's the power, glory of God, it's the power. Oh, Lord. You see, I know this everywhere I go. People ask me to preach on the church. They ask me to preach on the gifts. They ask me to preach on the anointing. They ask me to preach on all these Aladdin lamp sort of titles. Nobody wants me to preach on the cross. Nobody. Nobody's ever asked me to. Do you know that? Nobody's ever asked me to preach on the cross. No one that I can remember, except God. Yeah, they want me to preach on all sorts of things. And I've been too obliging, perhaps, I don't know. Perhaps it's been a parade of knowledge. That I don't know either. But this I know, that you can gather teachers unto you, because your ears itch to hear certain things. I know that's true. And I know that popularity isn't power, any more than noise is power. Or silence, either. The whole great thing, beloved, is that God is interested in power. He is power. You will know probably too that the simplest form of God in the Old Testament, in language, in the Hebrew, is El, Il, meaning power. Signifies the right hand. Power. That's the simplest form of the name of God in the Old Testament. Power. Yeah. That's where we get this word that even people use today, putting God into the anonymous, the Almighty. I used to hear a lot of it when I was a boy in London. People used to talk about the Almighty. I can remember it now in my ears in the East End of London where I was born. Yes. May the Lord lead us on to know who this Almighty is and what this Almighty has done and what he's calling us to. This is it, beloved, that our faith's got to stand in the fire. And I know this, beloved. You can believe in names and you can believe in texts and you can believe in books and you can believe in men. But this book tells me I've got to believe in power. The kingdom of God is in power. Has this God power to do this thing? Has he? Or hasn't he? Not that you and I should start thinking of a lot of fancy things that we want to ask God do, because we can only ask and think according to the power. That's why so many people in the world of fantasy, they're not asking and thinking according to the power that works in them. They're asking and thinking according to sort of hopes and fears. This is right. I'm afraid it's right. Instead of on the power that's working in them. This to me is sweet reasonableness. This to me seems to be the ground of all truth. Amen. Perhaps less prayer would be made, at least of some sort, and more prayer made of another sort, if we got this right. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And lastly, let me go back to the great verse that we all know. You shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You've got to be a witness unto your Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God he didn't single individuals out and say, thou. When God uses the thou, this is where the tragedy is of modern translations. They classify everything as you. But the Bible doesn't. He makes distinction between the singular and the plural. Thou. Because he says you. In other words, all of you. The whole church. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Glory be to God. Now we've each got to be there in our own personal life. We've also got to be it in our churches. We've got to be witnesses unto Jesus. Amen. In this city of Exeter, or wherever you live, or whatever village you come from, or the church, or what it is, in that village, in that district, in that city, in that country, you have got to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. That's what you've got to be. Not witness to him, not just to tell people about him, but you've got to be the witness of him. So there. You've got to be the one by which they say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's right. I believe it. You've got to be the witness to that, to him. Yeah. That's what it's got to be. You may use words. In fact, you will have to. What was it the Lord said to us earlier? Didn't he say, give what you have? Speak. What was it that he was saying?
I've got to speak out the things that we've received into our hearts.
That's right. Amen. That's right. And we're in this. But we're not in it unless it's in us. And we're not in it unless we're sold out to it. Given over to it. It's much more important than anything else you do. Much. What a tremendous thing it is for our hearts to grasp this. Oh, I believe there'll be an increase in power if we do this. It could be an increase in persecution. Could be an increase in mockery. You could go right down in people's estimation. What does that matter? What does it matter? Somebody will talk about the wisdom of what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. Anything to get you off the truth. Anything. The devil doesn't mind if he talks to you through a Christian's lips. He doesn't talk about it, doesn't mind. The whole thing, beloved, is that we've got to be in this. Amen. We shall have power from on high. Supernatural, heavenly, Holy Ghost power. Yes. Well, have you got it? Perhaps you think you need more. Well, so do I. You can come and stand with me in that. Whatever has reached us of saving grace has been in this power. The gospel has come in this power from on high. Whatever we've known of forgiveness has been in this power. God hasn't got two different things about this. Amen. Power is power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Jesus is sitting by the right hand of power. Glory be. I believe that many have had some anointing from on high, but the breakdown has been that it's never worked in them to become their energy. That's it. They think it's to do miracles, or they think it's to do this. And in that particular sense it is, in its exousia sense, yes. Its authorization and its clothing, yes. But in this tremendous thing, it's life. You and I are going to live by this power, beloved. That's what's got to happen. Lord, help us. Open our eyes the wider so that we can see it. Our ears, let them be unstopped that we can hear it. I don't know whether your spirit is hearing it. I don't know whether your eyes are seeing it. I don't know. I testify to you that this is what I most deeply believe. I believe I find it in the book. I believe I find the need of it everywhere I go. I believe I hear people crying out for it, not knowing what they're crying for. Power, power, but what it is, they know not. And whence it comes, they know not. Save that they're expecting it to come like the wind that bloweth where it listeth. Beloved, the preaching of the cross is the power. I believe he has most power in whose life the cross works most deeply. That's what I believe. I don't believe it comes from fresh anointings. I don't believe it comes from anything like that or fresh on laying of hands. I believe it comes through the invisible hands of the Spirit applying the cross to every willing heart that wants it in power in their lives. That's what I believe. I do. Most emphatically, I believe that the logos of the cross is the power of God to everyone that saves, to everyone that believes. Unto what need there is in the life. I believe that there must be the gifts and enablements of the Spirit on top. I believe in all that. Hallelujah. Let's have more of them. But oh, beloved, wouldn't it be wonderful if the power of God worked in all our lives in this room tonight? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all knew that something had happened inside us? Wouldn't tomorrow be a wonderful day? Wouldn't you gladly dispense of this preach with this preacher? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to stop. One can talk and talk and talk, but it's not in words. I remember a dear old man standing once in a building in Jackson and saying to me, "It's not in eloquence." Thank you, brother. It's not in eloquence. Praise the name of the Lord. It's in power. Old Paul says, "My speech contemptible." Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. But he wasn't contemptible. Not when he came on the scene. Oh, amen. Ah, glory be to God. He says, "My preaching, it wasn't with persuasible or enticing words of man wisdom." Blessed be the name of God. "I'm not trying to manipulate your mind," he says. You get at your knees. Yeah. Hallelujah. Anybody feeling like that tonight?
Let's pray about it, beloved, shall we? Let's bring it all.